Hey guys, week
Hey.
four.
Week four. How the heck is it week four, y'all?
I
I
don't
mean, this is
know.
just insane.
Onyx Storm is
Girl,
tomorrow. Like
tomorrow.
my book is in the state, and I was like, maybe the UPS guy will just hurry up and
Get
just
to
get
your house?
here. Like,
Yeah.
and it's like, but no, it's like almost as if the place like held it, and I'm like, no.
Yeah. Dang it. I
But
know for me, I know like by the time my sister gets off work and has the vehicle, it'll be dark. And they don't, my mom and my sister, and we don't like driving at nighttime. And
that's
then
fair.
it's difficult with the snow and ice anyway. So
Yeah.
I've actually been contemplating waking up early with my husband and going before he goes to work. Like that's how
Oh.
gung ho I am about getting a book tomorrow. And like I would buy Alicia's copy for her.
Oh.
So I've been considering that. But,
Yeah.
So, I've had a rough weekend, but
Oh
it's been
yeah.
a rough weekend, so I haven't done much, and I'm in an Assassin's Creed 3 mood, and I've actually still been into Earthquaking, so it had nothing to do with not being into the book, why I haven't been reading much. One, it was just the rough weekend. I just couldn't
Yeah.
handle anything. And then number two, I got into Assassin's Creed, and number three, I knew Onyx Storm's coming out tomorrow, so I might as well drag out the last four chapters when I easily could have finished it in a night. And then it's like because of what I was going through over the weekend, I didn't want to be on camera. And I want when I film my review, like I enjoy this book, so I want
Yeah.
that to come across in the video. And so it
Yeah,
was
I
like
get
I've just
that.
been dragging it out. But I'm on the last, I think. See, there's no chapter numbers, so Splintered is the last two, like the second to last, third to last, but it's only two pages, so there's basically like three chapters left. So I'm gonna read quite a bit and finish it up tomorrow or tonight and wrap everything up and stuff. So, but I do have some quotes and things. So, are you still reading Harry Potter?
Yeah, I want to try to. I am like close to finishing it. I've done a lot of reading
Hey,
today.
there you go.
I am past the second. I'm almost to the third event, I guess you could call it. Like,
Yeah.
what do they call it? Like, they
I
label it
don't
some
remember what they're called.
task. No. Yeah, task. The second task. So I'm almost to the third task, which, from what I understand, is the task that everything goes downhill with. So, yeah, there's already a lot of kind of what's going on. And I made a video from my personal channel earlier because, like, as I've gone through this book, like, I understand that, like, the main trio is, like, super well loved and people love them. But in this, like, Goblet of Fire in particular, Ron is so irritating. Like, he's very obviously jealous of Harry, and I get that. Harry had money left from his parents when his parents died, and he has money, and Ron doesn't. And it's like, but like, it's just, there's times like what he, and he mentioned, like, when he mentioned, like, I couldn't help having feels for his mom whenever she went to the bank to get Harry money, get some money out of Harry's vault for Harry, because she was going to buy his school supplies. But they didn't have a lot of extra money, so she was able to buy Harry new dress ro cloaks and stuff for, like, the dance. But she had to buy Ron secondhand stuff. And, like, just the comments that he was making, I felt so bad. I am like, oh my gosh. And it's like, you know, both of you, like, you and I both know what it's like growing up, like, going to, like, thrift stores to buy stuff. And it's like not always being able to get like, you only get, like, the new stuff at, like, special occasions or when they're on sale, you know, or, like, at the end of, like, if you're buying you buy summer stuff for next year at the end of the summer season because it's all on sale, like 75% off where you could actually afford it. And so it's like, I totally understand that. And it's like, I get, and it's like, but then I got to thinking and I'm like doing the math in my head. He's like 14. So it's like 13, 14. So it's like, I, at that age, I'm his response makes sense. And then there's like, he
That's
gets
kind of
hold
where
you.
you start to notice that stuff. Like, I still
Yes.
remember doing the free, like, you had to go through the school and do the free health check-in in order to get, you would get free school supplies if you would go through all the little things, and they would, like, I can't remember, like, I know they would check for lice, and they would, like, do a full physical on you, and if you did that, you, in exchange, you would get free school supplies, and we had to do that because Mom couldn't afford to buy us school supplies, so that's how we did every year, was getting it through there. So, yeah, like, I imagine if I read the books, I would probably sympathize with Ron and his mom a lot because of that.
Yeah, like, it was more like, it's more like I sympathized with his mom, and I was just flat out irritated with Ron because he was like, well, I'm not going to wear them. They're ugly. I'm not going to wear them. And she's like, and you could tell the mother was just trying all she could not to be so disappointed and sad at the fact that she couldn't provide him with new robes. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel so bad. Mm-hmm. And then it's like a little bit later on, Harry, somehow his name gets thrown in the Goblet of Fire. And considering the main book is from his perspective, you know, he didn't put his name in. But it's like Ron's instantly like, how'd you do it? You know, why didn't you tell me? At least you could have told me the truth that you did it. And so he's essentially saying that he's lying and won't talk to him at all. Until Harry does good on the first event. And then he's like, oh, I can be best friends with you again. And I'm like, you are such a...
And then
it's like... And then he essentially at one point insinuates that the only reason why Victor... this one of the contestants for the tournament... He actually genuinely kind of likes Hermione. And Ron is essentially just insinuating that the only reason why this guy likes Hermione is because she's trying to get to Harry. And it's like, are you serious right now? And I'm like, how are they even still... Like, I would have dropped Ron so quickly. And it's like... I guess it just shows how close of a friend of a relationship or a friendship that they have, because I would have just dropped him and been like, you know what? Bye. Like, I don't need you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, their friendship is so, they are so close that it's like, Ron's irritating me. I love him dearly. Yeah. And I'm sure eventually in the series, he will get to the point where he is forced to mature a little bit and grows up at some point, I'm sure. But it's like, at this point, it's that weird in-between stage where it's like he should be starting to mature, but he doesn't really feel like he's maturing. And it's just... I don't know.
Yeah, I get it.
It's irritating me. Anyway, how's your book?
It's like
you kind of already talked a little bit, like, but... Teenagers. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where teenagers just like... stuff like that seems like the end of the world, and it's like we've all been there.
Oh yeah.
But like, as an adult, it's like, okay, you can handle this differently. It's not that big of a deal. Like,
yeah,
so. I'm pretty sure I've probably had friends that I would like be envious of, like, because they would get this thing or that thing, and like, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I've had other people who looked at me and thought I got everything and they didn't as well. So I've been on both ends of the, even though I really didn't, but like, you know, always gonna be somebody who has more than you, and then there's always gonna be somebody who has less than you. And so
totally,
it's like,
get that,
appreciating what you have, and like, not, I mean, obviously as adults, like, you and I can talk about how you should best handle those emotions and things, and how in the long run, items don't matter, material possessions don't matter. It's like about your friendships and your family, but teenagers aren't going to be, most average teenagers are not going to be a mature enough to like see that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as for mine, this one actually had a ton more action than I was expecting, and it was like one thing after another, which I really liked. But I had to, like, once I got through the mindset of like, okay, they're gonna react to these situations like a teenager would.
Yeah.
It like, it really, like, I got in their head.
Oh, good.
And I was able to enjoy it. Yeah. Like, there was rock monster and this tree guy that one of the girls was trying to fight the rock monster, and then the other one got attacked by the tree, and the two carried them off, so they got split off from the two boys.
Oh.
And they ended up in this like dark cave, and like, it was really hopeless and everything, and
kind of reminds me of, makes me think of when Merry and Pippin in The Hobbit get separated.
Yeah.
Makes me,
and
gives
it's
me that,
like,
sounds
and
like
then
that.
To get like the situation to get out was like drawn out, but like, I don't mean that in a negative way.
Yeah,
it was
no,
like,
it's just kind of stretched
really,
out a little bit.
And even earlier when they escaped, it was like the stealth scene. Like, most people just, oh, we snuck around, you know, this and that, and then we got out. Like, I really enjoy the fact that, like, because they're teenagers, it takes them a lot more time to, like, get through whatever they're going through. And, like, the Kendall had to climb out, and then she ends up in this tunnel, and she can't just bend down and, like, pick Ella up out of the hole.
Yeah.
So she's looking for something to help. And she ends up stumbling on this, like, orb, and there's this really intense situation where it's, like, she's drawn to it, and it, she touches it, and it's, like, these storm clouds, but it, like, it hurts her.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
she's the one she feels like, because from my perspective, looking at it from an adult, I'm like, you poor thing, whatever it was, like, using you and leading you on, and she feels like it was her fault making a stupid mistake.
Oh,
but it's like, you know, and so she feels guilty and everything, and she didn't want to talk about it for the longest time. And then the two boys, like, Tad is, like, the rebel. Andrew's, like, the intelligent nerd who was bullied. And Tad has been fighting with everybody. And it's, like, Ella's the bossy mother who has to, like, mother the group.
Yeah.
Even though she's a teenager. And, like, Tad and Andrew actually got into a fist fight. And so that was a really intense moment. And then typical guys, like, in real life, you know, most guys, when they get into a fist fight, they're okay. Like, you just duke it out. You punch them.
Yeah.
And then you're fine. And, like, that's what happened. But, like, Ella and Kendall are like, you should talk it out. And, like, you know, being girls. And it's just, like, really fun.
Yeah.
And then, like, I just got through this part where there was another situation with the villain. And it's just, like, oh, my gosh. And I, like, didn't want to stop reading because it was, like, really intense. But they did have some really good quotes, though, I wanted to mention that really stood out. Okay. Because I've actually, like, look at this. I have been annotating. Like, I am so proud of myself. Okay, okay, those were, like, way back. As you notice, there's, like, a ton of them in this one area, like, all together, because it was, like, a lot of stuff. I don't know if you can tell, but there's a lot of them. Okay, because I feel like Heather is really, like, a master at, like, weaving really good spiritual truths in, like, a fantasy parallel way that, like, oh, that's, you know, and it's really powerful. Okay, where was this? Okay, so Ella's trying to explain something her father told her, and so she's saying that her dad said. And he said, young lady, you are precisely where you ought to be, and everything going on in your life is happening precisely as it ought to be. I found out a long time ago that we can't go thinking this and that is the way it ought to be, because this and that never was. All you're conjuring ain't the life you was to live. This is right as it is happening right now. Like, this is, like, and I was obviously going through a rough weekend, so it hit me at right time. Like, you are exactly where you need to be, and, like, trying to think about what was isn't going to help you, because that never actually existed. Like, what you think your life should be is not necessarily where or what you were meant to do. And, like, it was just really powerful. Okay. She says, my life happened as it did, and our lives are happening like this right now because they are supposed to be happening this way. Everything that's gone on has happened for some reason, and now you're not at your home, and I'm away from my papa for some purpose. And then she's like, ever since he told me that, I've known that every bit of life happens as it should, never wrongly or mistakenly or out of order, but I've never really understood how so many strange, mundane, and mad things can be. All be for some real purpose until now. You see, Ken, it's the makers. They've made everything, and not just the wood of these trees and things, but a plan and a purpose for all of it, and it's alien. There's no other way they could know what we must do before we've done it. Don't you see? It must be quite like this when my papa stews a soup. He takes all sorts of mad bits and this and that, and you never see how it all turns out, but once it's done and you taste it, you see how it all worked out. The makers aren't just guessing at where we need to go or what we need to do when they tell us to go somewhere or to do something. They know precisely why we four are the ones here and how all this strange, mundane, and mad bits of this journey are exactly what we need when we meet them and have some reason we may not see until it's all done and worked out. Like, the parallel of, like, cooking, like, and baking, like, at first, especially for somebody who doesn't know how to bake or cook, like, when you're just throwing all these ingredients in, it seems crazy, and then it comes out and it tastes good, and you see how it all worked together, and, like, that's true in life, how we go through things, and, like, all of this and that, like, you know, you have this stress here, and then this thing pushes you over the edge, and then that thing's overwhelming you, and it doesn't make sense, and you don't know why you're going through it, but it all lines up for a good purpose that we can't just see yet. And it came at, like, the exact right time that I needed to hear that. So, and then Kendall, her doubts started to seep in, and she was like, I just don't know why they would want to do stuff that hurts us. And Kendall and Ella replies, to keep us from what would hurt worse. And so I liked that line.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good. I dropped my little annotating things here. And my bookmark now, too. and then... yeah, it was just another good moment between the girls. And then... so they had this really good deep talk that, like, really... so that between the girls when they were alone trying to get their way home, like, it was really nice and stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Kendall has this moment where, as Kendall kept her head bowed and stewed over the unfairness and seemingly pointlessness of everything, helpless frustration built up in her. She felt as if she could do absolutely nothing about their progress, but desperately wanted to fight all that impeded it. Her desire grew and grew until she could not stifle it any longer. Ready to yell and kick until everything was fixed, Kendall let her eyes snap open. So, like, I put, like, a tab, like, I related to that. Like, I felt like she has a lot of time, so, like, I related to that.
Yeah.
Like, and then the makers were very slowly doing something important and would somehow eventually work out everything. Even though her necklace had reassured her, she still felt the unsettling energy. So, like, the makers made, like, God made work really slowly, but he's still working, even if it feels very slow. Like, we want him to work faster.
Yeah.
You know? And, yeah, like, I felt like that a lot, like, with us wanting to have kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just another moment between, I really like her and Tad too. Like, she's the only one that can really, like, get Tad to, like, open up and talk and stuff. So her and Tad's friendship, like, the individual dynamics between the different characters and their growth, like, really, I really enjoy their dynamic with each other. Like,
yeah.
I like Tad and Ella because they constantly fight and quarrel. I like Andrew and Ella because they're the ones that, like, seem to be able to go off and talk and stuff, and, like, when they're quiet, like, Andrew is really quiet normally, and then Tad is, like, closed off and rude to everybody except for Kendall, and when he gets mad and fights with the others and he'll storm off, Kendall is the one that goes after him and gets him to open up. And then Kendall and Ella are their two girls, so they have a really good relationship with each other. So the different friendships between them are, like, really good and stuff.
Yeah.
And then she, like, just the random fantasy, like, it just, again, reminds me of being a kid and that nostalgia, like, the random, we're going on an adventure, and we don't know what we're going to encounter, and it's just these silly little fantasy things that are just, by silly, I mean, like, you know, not something you would expect, but still really fun and creative. Like, fun, I guess, is a better word. So, it's really fun. I really enjoy it. So.
Yeah, I'm glad.
And I'm actually, like, now I'm at this dilemma where it's, like, I want to finish the series while my head, like, not finish it, because she's only up to book four, but I want to read the next two books because I've already got them while my head's in Anathalian, but obviously Onyx Storm's coming out tomorrow, and then I have The Serpent and the Wings of Night, the Crowns of Naxia series to finish, and I want to read Throne of Glass, and so I have too many series, and that's the dilemma of all book readers, is we have too many books on our TBR, and that's why we did this challenge in the first place, but it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to read now.
Yeah, no, I get that.
No.
My eyes feel randomly heavy all of a sudden. Like,
oh yeah.
Oh. Lack of caffeine for like the whole week.
Getting drowsy without your coffee.
Yeah. But I'm determined to stick it out until the 26th.
Hey, you've only got a couple more days, so.
Yeah. I'm sure. You will make it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I know you mentioned Goodreads suggestions.
Yeah. So Goodreads had like an article that was posted on the 1st of January, which I guess I just didn't see this, but it's readers' most anticipated 2025 romantasy books. And so there's a decent sized list, and I'm not going to like list off like every single one, but there's a couple of them that looked familiar. Like, I feel like there's a lot of like sequels to a book, or like third in a series, like second or third in a series, that are coming out. And there's one of them, like a couple ones that are like first in a series, that there's one in particular that sound kind of cool. But the primal of Blood and Bone. So it's like Blood and Ash book 6. I didn't realize there were 5 books in that series, but book 6 is coming out in June of this year. So, I don't know how it has over 1,000 ratings already.
You can put your book on Goodreads and people can rate them, so probably ARC readers.
Oh. Gotcha. Okay. I mean, I was like slightly because I'm like, like Onyx Storm comes out tomorrow, so that's an anticipated one.
Yes.
Okay.
That reminds me, I have something else to talk to you about later too.
Okay.
In the live stream, I forgot to mention. Okay.
There's one that's called The Ballad of Falling Dragons, and I'm like, that sounds like a really cool name, and I looked up to see what book one was, and it's actually the other one that was on my TBR list for this month. It's the second book to this series, and I'm okay.
So that one, I just bought that.
Yeah.
Only my paperback is huge because I have my shorter. So it's like thick.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But it's actually book two to this series. So I'm like, oh, okay. That's coming out in, like, the name sounded really cool. And it has like dragons and stuff. And I'm like, ooh. It's October of this year. So there's, we got a little bit. And it's, the cover is, has, the final cover hasn't been revealed yet. This is like a, I'm assuming it's like the title reveal cover. So it's not like the full cover.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then there was a book that I bought over Christmas, like New Year's Christmas. It's book two is coming out in October of this year as well. So I bought Blood of Hercules, and then the book two is coming out in October, and it's called Bonds of Hercules. So it was like an academy type feel, but it was like Greek gods and like demigod, like half. Children, like people that have the blood of these different different gods, and that this is the kind of feel, but it feels more like adultish, kind of. Yeah. But there's like tons. I think Fearless was one of the young adult ones. That is like book three of the Powerless trilogy, which is a series that I've been wanting to read. I just haven't ever got around to it.
And I'm gonna read it after I read Red Queen because I was gonna do a comparison video. So that one, I've seen a book bundle actually of like three of the books. I don't know if it's like them, if there's only three or if that's just the first three, but
yeah.
And I've heard the like romantic-y book boyfriends like Rhysand and like all the one like Zayden. I've heard the guy from that one, I think his name is Kai. Mm-hmm. People talk about him a lot, and then the one from Quicksilver,
gotcha.
I'm really anticipating that.
There's
one.
A lot of pretty covers in this list. There's ones like When the Tides Held the Moon. That's a really pretty cover. The one that like caught my eye is called A Fate Forged in Fire. And I'm like, oh.
Why does that sound familiar?
I don't know. Like, there's a show forged. There's a show forged in fire. There's a show forged in fire.
Maybe. Like, I'm thinking of a title like A Fate Inked in Blood.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the same series?
No.
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 Okay, it's just close.
The Fate Inked in Blood.
I don't know where that title came from. That was just the title in my head I had.
Maybe.
I'm gonna have to look that up now.
I don't think. This lady's written the Ocean's Daughter trilogy. And this is like, I'm assuming it's the first book in a new series.
A Fate Inked in Blood is the Viking book thing. I thought you'd had it one. I've thought about it and seen it at Walmart. I thought about buying it, but.
So it's about
probably not.
It's about this woman. In order to become a queen the first queen in centuries, she has to overthrow the corrupt powers ruling her kingdom. But she's growing desire for one of her dragon riding adversaries. So I'm like,
Celtic fantasy romance duology. I like Celtic. That's like
it sounds really good.
So that looks good. There's a giveaway.
Okay. Yeah, I entered it before the stream, and I'm like,
okay, well, I'm going to...
And it's like five more hours. 11 days and 5 hours left of the giveaway.
Okay, well, but I'm going to be joining that later. So check it out on Goodreads, Fate Forged in Fire, if you guys are watching this anytime close.
It looks kind of good,
next
though.
11 days from the Prince, live stream.
The Prince Without Sorrow has a really cool cover. It's like a deer, but like it also looks like a serpent dragon kind of vibe. Yeah, there's a lot of cool ones on here that I'm a judge a book by its cover girly, so that's me, and if that makes you mad, I'm sorry. But I do end up reading the synopsis, and the synopsis is my final judgment of whether I'll actually read it or not. But if it has a bad cover, there's a good chance that I will just skip over it.
Okay. No, my author friends. Yeah, hearing it from the reader herself.
I'm sorry, and that may be, like, a horrible thing for a lot of people, but I'm like, the cover is part of the book. Like, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, you can't completely judge a book by its cover, but it's part of it. Like, if it's the first step with a lot of people, like, if the cover looks really cool, then it's like, oh, what's this about? Or if the title is really catchy, then it's like, oh, what's this about? And then you read the synopsis, and then you're like, oh, the synopsis sounds really cool. I'm going to get that. Like, that's literally one of the two things. Either the title will catch my eye, or the cover will catch my eye.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know.
There's a good cover, even I'll, like, be like, ooh, what's that about? Although I have the other side of it, too, that I get to know people based on their writing and stuff, like, because I know there's a lot of good books out there that don't have, either they don't have covers because I'm reading it before that's even published, like, and they're just sending me, like, you know, their notes or whatever, like, and I also used to be an editor, so I still technically am, I just haven't had an editing job in a while, and so I'm literally, like, reading it long before it even has a cover or even has anything like that, so it's like, especially for people who are good writers if they don't have money, like, it costs, like, you're looking at $500 to $1,000 for a good, and even more than that, for a decent cover designer. So, like, sometimes it's not always an indication about how good the book is or, like, really amazing characters or plot lines and things. So,
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, that's really good. Like, some of these, like, I know there was one, Five Broken Blades, I think, is the first book. I have it on my shelf. I've been wanting to read it. Oh, I think and I've the second seen that book one. In that one came out. Yeah, I've seen the second one at the store now. Like, it was supposed to come out this month, the second book was. So I was like, I need to get on the program here because the second book's already out. But, okay, I had one that is five fantasy books that define millennials' childhoods. So, we're technically doing that. Okay. So, obviously, Harry Potter, which is what you're currently reading. You're a little behind.
Yeah, that's okay. Slightly. But there's reasons but for that. Like,
yeah, but, like, it was the, like, if there, like, the article puts it, if there was a single fantasy series that defined millennials' childhoods, it has to be Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It was, like, a pop culture phenomenon.
Yeah.
You know, it the Wizarding World became iconic and stuff, and then, like, it took a journey alongside the characters that, like, was growing up alongside the people who were reading them, and so that was, like, you know, lessons and coming of age and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Next one, obviously, is Percy Jackson and the Olympians by Rick Riordan. So it was too late for, like, some older millennials, but the younger side of the generation was, like, at the right age to kind of enjoy it. And, like, the iconic locations and relatable characters and stuff made it more iconic. So this one's more that I understand because I grew up with this one, but The Inheritance Cycle by Christopher Poloni, which is, like, Aragon. I always call it the Aragon series. So I was like, oh, if I hadn't seen the first book cover, I wouldn't have known what this was. But yeah, Christopher Poloni, it was aimed at young teens, but it, like, it had such detailed world building and characters and political states that it appealed to, like, even older readers. I remember reading and enjoying the Aragon books, and, like, Murtagh was my favorite character. Like, I remember just being obsessed with him at the time. So, and it's been such a long time ago, I have no memory of it. So, Twilight by Stephanie Meyer.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, we were very much shaped by that. It came out when we were in middle school. It came out when many millennials were in high school or college or middle school in our case. I guess we must be on the younger side.
Oh, that brings up a point that I'll bring up before we end stream. So that reminds me, remind me of Twilight series.
I'll remind you.
Okay.
Yeah, I had another point that I was going to throw out too, but I forgot what it was, so hopefully we'll remember. But it's like Team Edward versus Team Jacob became a regular topic of conversation. I remember when the movies came out. And it was April Fool's Day, and I literally told everybody that the actor for Edward was quitting and that he wasn't going to be Edward anymore, and everybody believed it in my grade, and it started this whole rumor that spread and spread and spread, and
that's
I was like,
funny.
Dude, that was the best April Fool's prank ever.
But what's, like, so disappointing is now that, like, Robert Pattinson hates that series, hates the Twilight series so much that he's went, apparently, I haven't actually read, like, seen any of the interviews, but apparently he's, like, said that it shouldn't even have been written, and I'm like, I don't feel like I would have went that far, but he's like, literally hates the series so much, and I'm like, that is so disappointing. It's like one of those things that I'm like, you know what, like, yeah, redo the whole stuff. Redo the whole series and, like, get them out of it. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I get that there's a lot that went on in the background, and they kind of forced his and Kristen's relationship. And it's like, that whole thing, he was done dirty in a way. So, like, I get why he would be bitter and not like the series. But I'm like, at the same time, I'm like...
Well, I get why he wouldn't like the movies and the films and stuff. But, like, I don't know why it has
but to like I said, the book. I haven't actually seen, like, any interview where he said that. So, I don't know, like, 100% that that's like, truth. But, like, that's what I saw a video that somebody had made that comment that he went so far as to say that it shouldn't have been written. And I'm like, oh... That's really disappointing.
Yeah, like, it was definitely, like, I loved it. Whether you love it or hate it now, like, I remember
it was definitely impacting. I loved
it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was impacting. So, the last one is His Dark Materials by Philip Pullman, which I've actually never even heard of. Like, I've heard of it, but I never read it myself.
Yeah.
But it said, the world-building compelling female lead and Damon concept made The Golden Compass a must-read during the 90s and early 2000s, so the book and its sequel felt timeless, like The Chronicles of Narnia and Lord of the Rings and stuff like that. So I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Did they not have the Hunger Games series on there?
They didn't list the Hunger Games.
I would have put the Hunger Games on there. 10,
so their 10 lists better had... Because for me, that impacted my writing so Hunger much. Games? Like, I need to do a whole video about that, Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Like, changed everything for me.
Yeah, like, so. That and Twilight were, like, the two, like, fandoms that I was, like, head first in. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the two book fandoms, yeah.
And,
I totally get that.
Okay.
I liked Divergent, but it wasn't as huge for me as Twilight and Hunger Games.
I was told what happens at the end of book three, and so I just kind of never read the series. I never read past the first one. But it's, like... Honestly, I've seen some edits of, like, fan edits of the movie here recently, like, on YouTube short. Like, when we went, like, that 12 hours without TikTok, like, I was insistent. I was mad at, like, I was just, like, boycotting Meta, so, like, I didn't go on Instagram, and I was just scrolling through YouTube Reels, and it's, like, I kept getting all kinds of edits of different things, and, like, one of the edits that I got was a Divergent edit where it's, like, when they've all been kind of, like, brainwashed and they're in that ship and she like slowly makes her way up to him and like they touch hands and it's like they were making that comment that he like visibly like sighs in relief when he like you could see him physically sigh in relief and it was like a whole edit about that and it's like
nice.
It's like honestly I have because we got a bunch of like books super cheap. I got the hardbacks for book 2 and 3. So I have those, and I've technically read book 1, so I could technically just jump into book 2, but it's like, I kind of want to reread book 1 and just read all 3 of them together.
I've been wanting to do, I have the whole series right on my shelf over here, but...
So, I might at some point, but it's way down on my priority list.
It's way down on mine, too, if I'm being honest. So, what's your next thing? You also had a point you wanted to make.
Yeah, somebody had mentioned that they were afraid... that this whole situation with Onyx Storm being like Target putting Onyx Storm on the shelves early and actually selling it to people and the ending getting spoiled online, like they were afraid that essentially what happened to Stephanie Meyer with the Midnight Sun is literally happening with Rebecca Yarros, and they were like genuinely concerned about like that they're like talking about how like she definitely needs a vacation and needs a break because she's been like writing like so much. And what I didn't really realize, she actually has Ehlers-Danlos, like the condition that Violet has in the books, like she actually has that apparently. And so it's like definitely puts like a physical and mental strain on top of everything. And then she's been writing romance novels outside of the like the push for the Fourth Wing stuff. And it's, like, just for the book to get released or, like, for the stores to release it early and sell it to people and people spoil it online. It's, like, they were saying that it mirrors the whole Midnight Sun situation a lot. And it talked about how when that happened with Stephanie Meyer, she didn't write in it until, like, 2020 or whatever. Like, 2019, 2020. And this one girl was, like, I started to read it. And she's, like, this girl was, like, I DNF'd Midnight Sun because she's, like, I could just tell Stephanie's heart wasn't in it. And it's like, I wouldn't go that far, but it's like, it's definitely a different, it's definitely like Edward talks a lot. He thinks a lot. But, like, to be fair, he gets everyone's thoughts all the time. And he is, he has been 17 for, like, 100 and some odd years. So it's like, his brain is going to work differently than Bella's. And it's like, he's going to think a lot more. And I can see that's, like, her writing. And her writing like that, just kind of like, and it seems like he will spend several pages in one scene or one situation. And that bugs people. And so it's why some people have DNF'd it or whatever. And it's like, I don't know. I get why it was, and I kind of appreciated it, but it just kind of depends. But a lot of people were, like, concerned that she was going to, like something was going to happen. Like, I don't know if they were insinuating that she wouldn't finish the others. I wouldn't think she would do that, but it's like, I could definitely see her taking, like, an extended break from the series because people spoiled it before it even come out. Like, I could definitely see that being a thing.
Like, from the interviews that I've read with her, she was going to take a break anyway because of the rapid release of Fourth Wing when it blew up, and then Iron Flame, and then Onyx Storm. Yeah. So I don't think it's probably not going to help, and it definitely doesn't make you feel good. Yeah. But I remember with Midnight Sun, like, it was leaked online before even wanted to publish it. So the situation is actually different.
Because, a little bit more severe with Stephanie Meyer.
But she's still...
Yeah.
The ending for Onyx Storm may have been spoiled by a few
back people, then, but it was more severe.
And it's already being published. Like, it is coming out in a couple of weeks after, you know, that whole situation. So I see different. Like, I see why people would be worried, but I still see some differences. But I definitely think she needs a vacation and stuff. I just hope it doesn't take her too long for the next book. But I think the only thing that I hate about reading a series as it comes out is you have to wait. Like, I love waiting for when the series is done. And I know a lot of other people do too. Like, because I just don't like waiting a whole year for the next book. I want to be able that's to, like, fair. Binge the series. Like, you know, Throne of Glass.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, so I've got a Tamlin potential. Not really, what's it called, theory? Mm-hmm. But, like, this article talks about how the Hulu Court of Thorns and Roses show needs to do more with this. And I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Basically, they're saying that they... should do more with Tamlin's shape-shifting power because the ACOTAR books don't develop his powers enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the big theories. Like, one of the big theories is that, like, we know that Tamlin can shape-shift into a beast. And a lot of people are like, but, like there's, like, speculation and theories that Tamlin could be shape-shifting himself into other people and to infiltrate the inner circle. And that's why... the shadows are, like, apprehensive around, like, one particular character. I forget which character it was, but it was, like, there's, like, that theory. And so it's, like, I want his powers more, like, I feel like all of the High Lords, like, their powers are just kind of touched on a little bit, but it's not going into, like, great detail, and we can kind of guess what powers Feyre got from each High Lord, but it was, like, it's not... nailed down. There's a lot of, like, I guess this is what this is about. There's a lot of, like, question of, like, is this, what's this about? Or is this, like, you know? And that's where I'm, like, I just...
Well, even Tamlin has a beast, not Tamlin, Rhysand has, like, a beast form, and I think maybe he used it once. Yeah. Like, I actually forgot all about it till I saw, like, fan art, and I remembered, oh, yeah, he does have a beast form, like, but it was, like, not that big of a deal. And I feel like...
I get that.
There was definitely a lot of, like... This goes back to the whole, like, ACOTAR versus Throne of Glass and how ACOTAR, like, it's a romantasy series, but it would have been better as, like, a multi-casted potential, like, or do more, like, start with Feyre's story and then open it up to more. Eventually, like, you know what I'm, like, it would have
been... Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
I don't know, because there's such... It's so creative world-building that you want more. And sometimes when the world is so good, you want to expand beyond
one
POV.
And I guess it's where, like, I'm wanting it to branch out from romantasy and go into an epic fantasy like Throne of Glass is.
I can see that.
Because Throne of Glass is all about getting lots of POVs, lots of little mini storylines of, like, different characters doing different things at the same time, and you go back and forth, and, you know, and eventually all of these characters are slowly making their way towards each other, and it's like, you know, and at the end of the book, at the end of the series, you get, like, that big collision where they all come together, and it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I guess that's what I'm sure, I'm wanting more depth in that series, like we got, like Throne of Glass, and I guess it's just not, it doesn't feel like it's there yet. I feel like it's hinting at that, but it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's an interesting thought, too, to add in about how Fourth Wing is epic fantasy, and it's only told from one POV.
Yeah.
But Violet, being intelligent, she knows a lot about the world, so I feel like you get that bigger picture from her.
Yeah.
Without a big...
So you can make
it work with a small cast.
Yeah.
But it's still just the difference in genre, because Fourth Wing is epic fantasy, not a romanticy. Like, it does have a romance in it. Yeah. But the bigger the scope, it goes beyond the romance. And I feel like I love ACOTAR. I will always love ACOTAR. And it has some of my favorite romances in that series, like, of all time. But I do wish that we would take that same world from that same time. However, the other ones connect and actually do more with it, with the Fae from that time period specifically. And go to the other courts and get and show us some show us some other stuff of that, like, exact time period.
Introduce some more side characters, or like POVs from other side characters that we already know of. It's like they're I just don't want Elaine.
Or Eris or something from the Autumn Court.
I just want anything but Elaine. Oh my god, anything but Elaine. Please. Yeah.
Okay, so did you have another one? I know I had one more.
I did not.
Okay, I have one more. So, 9 tips and tricks to get more out of your Kindle. So, a lot of these have things that I don't know.
Okay.
And I don't know Kindle types. Like, I don't know what kind I have beyond just what I have. But number one is look up words. So, you can get definitions for anything on screen just by pressing and holding on the word. And then a definition will pop up from Wikipedia. And see if there's a Wikipedia entry for the word. So I didn't know that.
I think mine's done that before. I've done it on accident.
Oh yeah, I never have. You can use your Kindle to catch up on your online reading by sending web articles to the device. The easiest option is the official Kindle extension for Google Chrome, as long as you only want to send articles from a desktop web browser. apparently, I don't know anything about that. You can take a screenshot on a Kindle. If you want to show off your library or share a passage from a book on social media, you tap 2 diagonally opposite corners right in the corner. The screen flashes and the screenshot is saved. So I'm going to have to test these out and see if they're actually working. I don't know if they're legit or not. Sort your ebooks into collections. You can add more ebooks into your library, and like, because there's a lot, you can go to your homepage tab with the 3 dots at the right and create a collection and then name it and then organize your ebooks by the collections. So if you miss the old experience of seeing the cover every time you close your paper book, you can get the digital equivalent of setting the cover of the ebook you're currently reading as the Kindle screensaver. So that's an interesting thought. Change the screen warmth. So if you have a Kindle Paperwhite, Oasis, or ColorSoft, you can access a warmth setting for your screen. It changes the tint of the display so your eyes don't have to strain so much reading the text.
I forget what setting I have it set on, but it's more like an orangey. Yeah. Like, at nighttime, it changes.
Yeah. I don't know if I could ever handle, like, one of the black and white one Kindles, because I feel like it would strain my eyes.
It has, like, a light, but it's, like, a little bit of, like, a... Black. It's, like, it's not just, like, straight black. Like, there's a little bit, there's, like, a little bit of, like, a light behind the screen. Like, it lightens when you unlock it. But, yeah, it...
Makes sense.
The only thing I don't like is the typing on it. Like, it's hard to type with my... I have chubby fingers, so it's hard to type on, but that's my only issue.
When I was reading and taking notes on the military romantic suspense, it was, like... You know, quick finger typing, because my thumbs are not big enough for mine. Check your progress in the bottom left corner of the screen to change how your progress through the ebook is indicated. So you can, I do that all the time, checking my progress. You can install other Kindle apps, which mine has other apps on there, but I haven't touched them or done anything with it. And then get a text file that you're comfortable with. Tap the top of the page while reading a book, then tap the AA icon, and you can access a range of options for the text to look the way that you want. So, Don't know if anybody knew or needed those tips, but there you have it.
Sounds like it was like an assortment of like Paperwhite and Kindle Fire tips. So there's a good assortment. I was like, some of them were like definitely for just for Kindle Fire, because I'm like, I don't, because mine doesn't have other apps. It just has the, it's just the e-reader, so it just has the books.
Yeah, makes sense. I don't know anything about that stuff, and I don't use mine. Like, I use mine for reading, and that's it. So yeah. I've never really gone beyond the scope of to see what it can do. Like, I just use it to read. So yeah,
that's fair.
But I like it. Like, I've done it for, like, the Reading Wheel Challenge. I set a timer on it, and I realized it can also open audiobooks. But the quality of the audiobook is not the same as on a phone. And the timer has a time limit, so I couldn't do, like, you know, 8 hours or 24 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was just easier to use my phone for some of that stuff. And the camera quality, because I've tried to access the camera is crap.
Oh, so, yeah.
That's all I know. But, yep. Let us know how your guys' reading is going for the month. I cannot believe this month is almost over with. And who here is excited about Onyx Storm tomorrow? Yeah. Which copy are you buying? If you're buying a copy, did you get yours on Amazon? Yes. What are you going to do?
I know I'm apparently excited. It sounds like a lot of, there's several people that ordered on Amazon that got theirs, that Amazon canceled it. And so it's like, and then there's some people that said it was like supposed to be delivered tomorrow, and then they updated the time and they won't get it until Wednesday. And it's like, so far, mine is still supposed to be delivered tomorrow. So it's like, you know, fingers crossed.
Be informed and text me.
Yeah, which we got, the play has officially started, so I don't get home until later because of play practice, and so I'm the officially, it's the assistant to director, assistant to the director, it's like officially, so it's like I'm not, I'm just so volunteer, because I just like volunteered, and then so they officially made it actually like a paid position now, and so I'm like cool.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Go so. You. We're big theater kids, in case y'all don't know. Like, it's, I was in a few middle school plays, my senior play. I was in the Apple Festival play 1 year, but I was a side character, and I don't remember, because that was back in 2006, actually.
Yeah.
So, even actually, there was a newspaper, like, I was on stage when they took a picture, so I'm like, oh, I'm cool. On the very corner, and it was like old, 2006 me. I'm like, okay.
Cool. Yeah, so I won't get home until the evening, so I'm gonna, like, do a whole video where I unbox it, so.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm gonna do a vlog as I try to get a copy and, like, buy my copy, and, like, I was thinking about doing that.
Yeah.
So, go through that process. Like, when we had first talked about this whole issue, it is creating a lot, like, anxiety over, am I gonna get a copy, or am I gonna get, like, the basic... I'm sure Walmart's gonna get like a basic version of it. It's just like, am I gonna be able to get a special edition, because it's gonna be all sold out. Like, I don't know how many people around here are gonna be reading it. So
if I think about that situation too much, it makes me mad again. So it's like, I just try to like, I've got my copy. My copy is special because it was a pre-order copy, and the pre-order copies go like, it's like, it's going to help, like, because I saw somewhere where somebody talked about, like, a lot of the, like, they were essentially talking about the importance of pre-order, I guess, and I don't know if it was a response to, it was, like, in response to the people that were, like, canceling their pre-orders and stuff, but it was, like, essentially saying, and I don't know if you could, maybe you could, like, clarify this or not, but that when you have so many pre-orders, like, if you have enough pre-orders, when the release day starts, like, if you have a certain amount, you could even make it onto like the bestseller list, because it counts for like the purchases all on that one day, I guess. And so it's like, and so it was like talking about how like the importance of pre-ordering it. And I'm like, you know, like, I'm just going to be happy with my pre-order. I'm going to be happy with the copy that I've got. You know what I'm saying? I liked the fact that it had all the dragons down the side. I liked that. I probably, like, if books have bookmarks built in, I don't always use them because I don't want to tear them up or wear them out. So it's like, I wouldn't have used the bookmark anyway. Like, the art would have been fine, would have been great, but I'm content with the black and white map. Like, I don't need a fancy map. I don't need the fancy artwork. So it's like, I'm fine with what I've got. I like the cosmetics. Like, I just wish, like, and that's where it's like, the head, a wording in the description that made it sound like it was like there was more structural change, but then they put the like side by side of the two versions, and that one has, there's like the actual hardback part doesn't have anything special on it. So it's like literally the Target exclusive is way more special and way cooler than the pre-order one. But you know, anyway, because yeah, Target has to be that way.
That's pre-order. But yeah, you want pre-orders to boost your rankings on on release day. That's pretty much all it is. It doesn't really do any good for us, and she's probably going to hit the bestseller list anyway. So it's not like she needs it, and other famous authors don't need it. It's more us indie authors that really need as much as we can get to boost our rankings. But so
pre-ordering any, if you see a book you want to read, regardless of how famous the person is, or like especially indie authors. Pre-ordering
also,
if you can.
Also, for ARC readers, if you are ARC readers, anybody out there, it would actually still help if you pre-ordered, like if you got your ARC copy and you ended up pre-ordering the ebook too, because you can still help the rankings. Yeah. And then you would be, I don't know if Amazon still
does. Okay, question. Does your, when you pre-order, does it, like, does it have to be specifically one version, like paperbacks or hardbacks, or does, like, every pre-order, regardless of the format, count as like one of those numbers that could get you on lists?
For indie authors and me specifically, I can only offer pre-orders for ebooks. They don't have
really
the availability for,
why
not with us when we're in KDP. Hardbacks are like literally you have to release. So for paperbacks, like I can set my ebook for pre-order. For a paperback, I have to go in and actually click the button and click publish and publish it that day, but they take 72 hours to approve, so you have to do it a couple days before release to time it right.
Makes no sense whatsoever.
And that's not including trying to make sure it's all correct on the inside. So if you want to order a proof copy, you've got to do it months in advance because it'll take a month to get to your dang house in the first place. Check it over. And then if you have a mistake, you got to redo the files on the inside.
Yeah.
Reapprove it, get a proof copy, which by the way, even getting an approval to order your proof in your Amazon cart takes 24 hours too, so you got to factor that in there. So timing for paperback releases is nuts on KDP, so that's why a lot of people use Ingram, Spark, and some of those places that I'm not comfortable with yet, because you can order it, like adds the ability to do a like a paperback pre-order, and that's kind of what Kickstarter and why Kickstarter and books on there are becoming bigger, is because that's essentially a big pre-order campaign for your book. That they get the exclusive Kickstarter pre-order edition that's not quite
and
the
you
same
could even,
one that's going to be released.
You could even argue that Kickstarter is a great website to go to find like indie authors that are trying to raise money for like book releases and stuff, you know, like to
and
get like
really
special editions from indie authors too.
Things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're going to get tons of goodies that you would, or available goodies that you wouldn't get, and like art and special editions that you wouldn't normally get. So like I spent way too much money over the summer when I was doing a lot of like I was helping a lot of
It makes me want to go scroll through Kickstarter after this. Like, you know, it makes me want to go like scroll.
Scroll on Kickstarter. Yeah. And like I'm in one of the groups with where we share each other, so it's like I get all the like as soon as it comes out, they do like
Yeah,
so I get access to like I know all the books that are going on Kickstarter.
So. All right, I feel like we've already done our outro, and then I start yapping, and then you start yapping, and then we both start yapping, and it just like spirals. So
it's literally the southern goodbye in the U.S.
It
anybody
is.
Who knows it knows
it is.
It. Like,
yeah, it's
up,
like we're standing.
You'll talk some more, and then you'll go to the porch, and then you'll go to the car.
We're standing at the door talking. We are on the porch. We haven't made it to the window yet. We haven't made it to the driver's side window, but we are on the porch. Okay, we will see you guys probably later this week, I imagine, Wednesday, Thursday, maybe. Since we did it on Monday, I don't know if we still want to do Wednesday or Thursday at some point. If life is too busy, then we may just do like an end of the week thing or something.
I'm going to try to do some sports and content around Onyx Storm
For
this channel and my main channel. I'm probably going to do both.
Yeah.
And then we may end up doing a release party or something together when we both have our copies in our hands and can actually celebrate the fact that we have it. So it's more like, hey, we're celebrating that we have our book with us.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Coffee shop vibe.
All the things. Yeah.
I'm excited.
I've never gotten to celebrate a book release before, so I definitely want to celebrate. Because it's my first book release I've been anticipating ever.
All right.
All right, let us know how you guys are doing and what you're reading. Stay warm.
It's yes, cozy. Tomorrow is supposed to be no like
super cold.
Below zero temperatures when I have to go into work, and I'm not happy about it. All right, we are at the driver's side window. Bye. Bye.